Hi there, and welcome to Grief is My Superpower. I'm Mark Lemon, award-winning children's author, bereavement ambassador, and your host for this podcast. Each week, I'll be interviewing incredible people that get open and honest about their own experience with grief. When I was 12 years old, my dad was murdered, and my life changed forever. I try to explore with my guests if it's possible to live a happy and fulfilled life after the death of a loved one. You can find me as Mark Lemon Official on Instagram and at the Lemon Drop Books website. For this episode, I speak with mental health advocate and founder of the Alone Together COVID support group, Liam Mayer. Liam speaks to me about the death of his father and how he's now using his grief to help others. You can find Liam on Instagram as Liam Mayer Official and Twitter as Liam J. Mayer. Please don't forget to subscribe and leave a comment wherever you're listening to this podcast. By doing this, it will help us to reach more people in need of support at a tough time. This podcast is in support of children's bereavement charity, Winston's Wish. Okay, so as mentioned in my introduction, today I am speaking with someone that I have recently discovered through social media and the amazing work that they've been doing over the last year to support people through the pandemic, and it's Liam Mayer. How are you?
Hello Mark. Yeah, I'm not too bad, thank you. Just having a bit of a relaxing week because I've got a well-earned week off, if I do say so myself.
Yeah, I'm sure there are lots of people that were wishing they were having a well-earned week off, especially when there were kids around, which I can account for. But yeah, for the listeners, would you be able to just give them a brief introduction as to who you are and what you do, please?
Yeah, of course. So as mentioned, I'm Liam Mayer. I'm a videographer for the NHS, and I've worked for the NHS for nearly 13 years now. And last year, I set up a support network called Alone Together COVID-19 Support Network. And also last year, I appeared on Gareth Malone's Singing for Britain choir program.
Okay. And obviously, you know, the reason we're here today is to talk about grief. And it's something that you've obviously felt hugely over the last year. Would you be able to give the listeners just a brief about your own experience with grief, please?
Well, last year, March of last year, my dad fell ill with what we thought was just flu. At that point in time, the COVID outbreak was very minimal in the UK, so we didn't ever think it would be COVID-19. But Dad got worse over a period of time, got admitted to hospital, and tested positive for COVID-19. He was in hospital for, I think it was around 11 days, but the last 7 of those days, he was on a ventilator and sedated. And did fairly well for those 7 days, but on the 7th day his body just had enough, and some kind of blood poison set in, which later we found out is quite common with COVID-19, and he passed away without any of us family next to him in hospital on the 29th of March.
I have to say, this is the first time that I've really spoken to somebody you know, about COVID-19 and interviewed them about this, and the thing with this horrendous illness is that it can happen so quickly, as you guys have discovered. And I know it's really difficult to say, but I was just wondering whether you could sort of tell the listeners about how you found that experience of it being so quick and being unable to be by his side, which is horrible.
Yeah, well, me myself, I think it happened so quickly that the reality of it has taken months to set in. But at the time, obviously always very hopeful that Dad was going to pull through it. Dad was in the hospital that I work in. So, I am biased anyway. It's a good hospital, but the communication was phenomenal with them. I was able to go and see Dad for the first 3 days that he was in ICU through a glass window. Obviously, Dad didn't know I was there. But then lockdown came in and we were unable to go out there. My mum was isolating because she was symptomatic, so she never saw Dad out there. I did a video call the last time I was out there with her so she could see him as best as she could. But yeah, part of me feels like I let Dad down from not being out there. We were given the option because it happened so quickly. I don't think any of us would have got there on time anyway. But they did say to us, you can come out and see him. But if you go in the room, you'll have to isolate for 2 weeks, which means you won't be able to go to his funeral. And I knew Dad would be very angry if we put ourselves in danger anyway, because the last conversation I had with him, he was more concerned about how my mum was, my mum's health. And that was my dad through and through, really. But I just worry that being sedated, they say that your hearing's still active and it's always the last thing to go, that if Dad didn't hear any of our voices, would he think that we didn't care? And that's something that sometimes crops up, and I have to keep reminding myself that my dad did know we care. I told my dad I loved him every time I saw him. I guess, you know, doubt and kind of regret is quite common with grief. But yeah, it was difficult, and I didn't cry properly for a few weeks, just for the sheer shock of it, really.
Yeah, I would imagine there are so many people out there that can relate to you, you know, if they've been affected through the pandemic, and that sort of feeling of being isolated in your grief. And I think one thing that's come out of it all is that, you know, the bereaved can feel isolated anyway, but before the pandemic, it's kind of heightened that through, like you say, being unable to visit the hospital or be able to say goodbye properly, you know, physically, in a sense. And where do you think you're at with it now? You know, and obviously we can lead on to the amazing work you're doing with the bereavement group. But yeah, how are you feeling now with your grief?
December was hard, if I'm honest. I thought I was dealing with it fairly well. Maybe I was ignoring some of it and suppressing it. I don't know, but December, Dad's birthday's in December as well, quite close to Christmas. So it was a bit of a double whammy, really. And I think that it's not going to fully sink in until the restrictions relax and we're able to get together as a family, that we're going to realise that Dad isn't there. Because at the moment, Dad could be one of those many people that I'm not seeing because of the restrictions. And I know my siblings feel exactly the same, and lots of other people feel the same who I've spoken to that have lost someone to COVID-19. But I've always been quite a positive thinker, and Dad was very much the same. So I tried to focus on the fact that I was lucky that I had Dad in my life for nearly 36 years. Not many people like yourself, Mark, you know, not many people are blessed with so much time with a parent that they're really close to. So I just try to focus on the positives as much as I can. But it is a bit of a mental battle, as I'm sure you know.
No, absolutely. And also speaking to people through this pandemic and interviewing them, you know, you realise that a lot of the grief has resurfaced, no matter how long ago it was that you lost that person. But I just want to move on to, you know, the amazing work that you've been doing with the bereavement group and kind of what, you know, what really spurred you to want to set it up, and if you could just tell the listeners more about it, please.
So I actually set it up the evening of Dad's funeral, which was the 6th of April, so a week after he passed away. But between him passing away and the funeral, I started thinking about families out there, or people out there who were grieving on their own. So I've got four older sisters, and my niece lives with my mum. So lucky enough, my mum wasn't on her own after Dad passed away. But I started thinking about, what if my mum didn't have any children and she had lost her husband and she was just in the house on her own, being reminded of him every day, and it's in lockdown, they can't go see anyone. Who are these people turning to? So that was one of the main drives for the network. Also, being very restricted in the funeral as well and not be able to have a wake, I felt very robbed of honouring Dad the way I'd like to. So I thought that doing this could do something to honour Dad, honour his name, and and just kind of do something to celebrate him as such. And that's kind of, once I started up the support network, that's something that's echoed through other people, that they feel very robbed of that and they want to let the whole world know about their loved one. So I set the support network up on Facebook just as a closed group. And I, being a videographer, I made a little video telling my story and telling of the support network. And it got picked up by local news who put it out. And then it went onto national news. And once it got onto those channels, it just snowballed. And we're up to nearly 800 members in the group now. And that's not just from the UK, it's worldwide. But it's just been really reassuring talking to people that know exactly what you're going through and just get it, because there is no fix for this. There's nothing that's going to bring our loved ones back, but we just need to be able to talk about it and know that we're not alone. Hence why I named the support network, you know, Alone Together. But it's been an absolute journey for a lot of people joining, whereas the people that joined earlier on in March and April, who were reaching out for that support, have now, I'm not saying they're over the grief, because like you said, you know, I don't think you're ever going to be over, you just learn to live with it. But they're further on in their journey, that people joining that have just recently lost someone, they're reaching out to them and giving them support and finding a bit of purpose for themselves. So it's a lovely little journey that's going on, some lovely friendships that have been built from it. Through people that would probably never have a reason to talk prior to this. But it's just a bit of a escape from the people that don't understand, I guess.
Yeah, no, it's an incredible thing to do. I think that for 800 people connecting through, you know, a similar experience and just having sort of a space to be able to share, you know, how you're feeling. I mean, have you had lots of feedback from people about, you know, like you say, they've built friendships. But it must be just a lovely place to go and just, you know, download how you're feeling on a particular day, especially, you know, in isolation.
That's right. And a lot of people see it as their safe space. We don't promote any hate speech or political speech. I don't want it to be about that, and I know people have opinions on that, and that's fine, and there are places for that, but we just wanted, I say we, that's the royal we, I wanted, you know, Alone Together to be a safe space for people, that they could talk about how they feel and not be judged and not be surrounded by negativity. And yeah, I've had some great feedback and I've made some incredible friends. We do video chat sometimes in the week, and sometimes that people just want to, you know, tell their story and get it off their chest, and sometimes we just, you know, don't talk about that and have a laugh. But it is, I don't want to say escape from reality, because obviously that is the reality, but it's escape from everything else that's going on in the world, that we can just be in our safe little bubble, knowing that we're not being judged and knowing that we are safe in each other's company.
Yeah. I'm just wondering, have you had any counselling over the last year, you know, or has it been too soon?
No, I've had some counselling myself. Yeah, I was seeing a counsellor prior to the pandemic anyway. I suffer quite badly with anxiety. So I was seeing a counsellor anyway, who I carried on seeing at the start of dad passing away. But as much as that counselling is really good, I've actually found it more beneficial talking to people who are, you know, grieving like me, because we kind of, people have got different outlooks of things, haven't they? And it's just nice talking to people and them saying, oh, have you tried this? Or I look at it this way. And that's really refreshing.
Yeah, that is a really refreshing thing. And I think, you know, what I found as well on social media with, you know, talking about this subject more and there being more, say, accounts that are talking about it, is that you can share, you know, tips and ways to get through a particular day. Because historically, obviously, we've never really wanted to talk about this subject. But it kind of feels like this COVID-19 and the pandemic has really, you know, in a strange way, sort of awakened people to to this subject. I think, you know, I think the news and the media are obviously, it's on every day. You can't really escape it in a way. So it's always there. But do you think it's really kind of put this subject out there to actually discuss more? You know, have you found that in the group?
Yeah, definitely. It's because it is a taboo subject, isn't it? And I think the more that you kind of eradicate that, the more comfortable people are talking about it. And as we discussed, you know, talking about it and sharing that is one of the best things you can do. I mean, there's always going to be people out there that kind of don't know how to approach it or shy away. I remember speaking to my boss quite soon after losing Dad, and he was telling me about when he lost one of his children in birth, I believe. And when he came back to work, he remembered walking down a corridor and one of his colleagues walking towards him and kind of acknowledged him and then walked into an office. And as my boss walked past the office, there was no one in there. He just walked into that room to avoid talking to him. And it's not the fact that they didn't want to talk to him. He just didn't know what to say. So I'm hoping that, you know, like you said, because it's in the limelight now, that people will feel more comfortable just asking people if they're okay, if they want to talk. And like I said before, there's no fix for grief. There really isn't. You just got to learn to live with it. But I think you feel safer around people that really do get it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just wanted to sort of, like, on the subject, really, you know, if you had any tips for anyone out there who's currently sat there at home, and obviously your group, you know, is fantastic for anyone out there that's struggling, and, you know, so they can connect with others. But have you got any particular tips that might help someone on a difficult day?
The best bit of advice I was given was by one of the members of a support network who lost her 17-year-old son to COVID. One of the most incredible, strong women I've ever met. And it was to be kind to yourself. And it sounds so simple, but I think with grief, you do beat yourself up about how you're feeling on that day. But there is no right or wrong way to grieve. And grief is a bit of a wave you've got to ride. You know, you have your ups and you have your downs. And that really resonated with me. And I remind myself of that every day, you know, just to be kind to yourself, that don't be hard on yourself if you're feeling down. Don't be hard on yourself if you're feeling angry, because that can be quite normal to be like that with grief. And fundamentally, the best bit of advice is to talk to people who, you know, in a similar situation to you, because sharing it and just offloading it is really refreshing. You know, I know it's a cliche saying, but, you know, a problem shared is a problem halved, and that is definitely true with grief, I believe.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. You know, it's I've always found myself that the most useful conversations are usually when I've opened up about how I was feeling, you know, and it always helps to do it with someone who's been in the same experience, you know, whatever grief they've been through. Like you say, it's all a pain that we felt, you know. I'm just wondering whether you'd be happy to share three things about your dad that make you smile when you think of him.
I just smile when I think of him anyway, because he was an absolute joker. He just enjoyed making people laugh. And I know I've kind of adopted some of those traits from him, but Dad was he was a bit of a prat at times, but it was brilliant. He just liked making people laugh, even if you're laughing at him. Really, just trying to think of an in particular moment, just little things like you'd ring up home and. I remember Dad for years would just answer the phone, Battersea Dogs Home, and little things like that, you know, and he would do stuff to wind Mum up, just playing on words and things like that. And Mum would always bite. But I remember when we were kids as well, Mum and Dad used to go out with some friends, and at New Year's they used to do fancy dress and go out to, you know, the local club or whatever. And I remember one year Dad dressing up as a caveman, and we still got photos of it, and it was just hilarious. This this wig that he had with his really long hair. It's just funny little memories like that. And that was one that I hadn't really thought about until you mentioned. That's just one that's just popped to the front of my mind. But he did enjoy a laugh, and he enjoyed talking to people, making people happy. And he enjoyed looking after his kids, really. I used to like the way that he used to play the grumpy old man quite a lot. Dad was very hands-on, really good at DIY. And obviously, having four daughters, there was always, "Dad, could you come and fix this?" And the reaction wasn't, "Oh, all right then." But you know, he loved it. He loved being needed. But yeah, I used to, and me and him being the only men in the house as well, we did have a special bond. And I'm the youngest, so Dad had to wait quite a while to get a boy in the house. But yeah, we had some great times with, you know, tinkering with the many cars that I crashed and going fishing. One in particular memory of us fishing together, actually, we used to fish quite a lot when I was a teenager, and we started again a few years back, and we went to this little spot, which is a local beach near us over on the rocks. A place that just reminds me of Dad all the time. But we went down there, and there was three men fishing, and we just turned up after not fishing for many years with all our brand new gear. And these chaps said, "Oh, there's not much happening. We've caught three fish between us all." So Dad casts his rods out with four feathers on it and reels in four mackerel straight off on the first cast. Anyway, we ended up coming home with 25 mackerel, and these guys' jaws just dropped, and we were like, "Oh, see you later, chaps."
That's an amazing memory.
It's great, yeah. That area is if you'd watch the program that I did, was on with Gareth Malone, we wrote a song about my dad, and it's called Skimming Stones, because that beach, I remember walking up and down it and skimming stones with Dad and fishing and stuff. So it's a very significant spot, and a spot that I have gone to a few times since he's passed.
They're incredible memories. And there is something special with that father-son bond, isn't there? I remember it myself. And you know, that's what I always miss, you know. I'm just going to move on to some questions from the children at Children's Bereavement Charity, Winston's Wish. And the first one is, how do you make yourself feel happy when you're feeling sad?
Well, that's a very, very good question. I think one of the things that's got me through my grief is exercising, whether that's just going for a walk or going for a cycle. I think exercise is really underrated. People don't realize how good it is for you. You know, the endorphins it releases, how it clears your mind. And I think, yeah, being down, just having that bit of alone time, that bit of space, just going for a walk into nature has really, really helped me. And also trying to, and I touched on this in the start, but just trying to think of positive thoughts of Dad. And I know that can be hard sometimes because you end up missing them, but I just try to be thankful that I had those moments with him.
Okay, the next one is, what piece of music reminds you of your dad?
So Dad was a Pink fan, fun enough. So we played Pink, What About Us, at his funeral. And so that's a song that really sticks out for me. And also, when Dad was passing away, the hospital asked if they could play him some music. So I know he was listening to Pink as he passed away, which I'm sure he'd be very happy with.
Wow, that's amazing. Music is incredible, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I don't know if you know that I've started a virtual choir with some of the members of my support network as a way of obviously kind of releasing and expressing themselves. I have a musical background anyway, so we've currently on our second original song, but I've been getting them to write a lot of lyrics to express themselves. And I think there's 13 of us, but we've become a little family, and they're finding an absolute benefit in doing music, and a lot of them have never done it before. But you're right, it is really powerful.
Really powerful. It's just, there's something around, you know, and it's not just for, obviously for adults, but for children, and just, you know, even if you're just writing how you're feeling, you know, and getting it onto paper, and then, you know, no matter your voice, just getting it out can be really, you know, such an expressive tool for helping with grief, you know, I think. Okay, so the next question is, what do you do to remember your dad on important days, like his birthday?
I'm trying to think what I did do. I know what I did on Christmas, because I was chatting to a good friend of mine that had a good bit of advice, and I was saying, you know, Christmas is going to be hard. And she said, well, what would your dad be doing on Christmas morning? And I reflected back on to what we used to do when we were kids, and we had a rule, an unspoken rule really, but that no one could go in the living room and get their presents until dad walked in through that door first. So dad playing his grumpy man in the mornings would be like, oh, I can't possibly get up till I have a cup of tea. So we'd all be rushing around trying to make him a cup of tea, and we'd go, oh, come on, dad. So on Christmas morning, you know, I know it's as simple as that, but I made a cup of tea and just, you know, sat and reflected and just remembered those things. So I think on those special occasions, it's important to think about what they would be doing and maybe do something to kind of symbolize that and to kind of help you remember it, and just smile and just think, you know, of the good times you had with them. So yeah, on Christmas, just a cup of tea for me, as simple as that, really.
Okay, the next one is, what three things are you most thankful for at the moment?
That's a really powerful question, because I think this whole pandemic has taught us all gratitude, really. And I think it's the smaller things. I'm thankful for my family. That's definitely at the top of the tree there. I'm thankful for having them and them helping all, you know, each other through this. I'm thankful for my job as well. I think that's one thing that stuck out to me in the last year, because of many people losing jobs or being on furlough and struggling. And both my wife and I have been fortunate enough that even though work has been tough, her being a teacher and me working for the NHS, we've been fortunate enough that we still have money coming in. And I guess I know it's got a bit of a cliche, but my health, really. I do have an underlying health issue. I do have a heart condition, but I don't let it rule my life. I'm still doing lots of exercise, and I'm health wise, I'm in a better place than some people. So I think that's definitely something to be thankful at the moment.
Okay, my final question is, and it's quite a big one, really, but if you had an opportunity to sit down with your dad one last time, what do you think you might like to say to him?
First of all, I would apologise for putting his photos all over the TV, because I'm sure he'd be very embarrassed about that. I'd thank him, really, for all the life lessons he's taught me. And it's not been too recently that I've realised some of the stuff that he has taught me, even the little things like DIY things. My mum was talking about to me about how dad helped me build some decking out the back of my old house, and she was saying to me, did you realize that your dad didn't actually do any of that? I was like, oh yeah, I did it all. And he basically guided me through it and taught me through it. And she said, your dad used to do that with a lot of things. He said, I'm not going to do it for him, because he needs to learn how to do it himself, but I will mentor him. And dad did that all the way through my life, really. And also, I don't believe that I would be where I am now job-wise if it wasn't for my dad. I actually left school with no GCSEs. I struggled. I was bullied and I struggled. And later on, I found out that I was dyslexic. So one of the main reasons why I struggled. And yeah, nearly 13 years ago, I applied for some jobs for the NHS, and my dad always taught me not to believe in boundaries, that the boundaries, we put them up ourselves. And if you want something bad enough, then go for it. As long as you're not hurting anybody, then go for it. And I did, I pushed myself, and I didn't start in this job in the NHS at the start. This was always my dream job, that I'd be a videographer. And he used to just push me, and he used to tell me that he was proud of me, and that did push me on even more. So I would thank him for being my best mate and being my rock, really.
He sounds an incredible man. And yeah, Liam, I'm just really fortunate to have spoken to you today, and you know, I really appreciate all the work that you've been doing to help bereaved people through this pandemic, because you know it's been huge for others. And thank you so much for today.
No, it's my absolute pleasure, and it's thank you for inviting me along today.